if you like betting on golf. But everyone that you back misses the cut. Get some experts involved with all the stats and the tips and so much more. 'Cause it's the golf betting system. The golf betting system is the golf betting system podcast.
Greetings and welcome to the Golf Betting System podcast. It's episode 335. This is our 2025 Sony Open It in Hawaii Tips podcast. Barry O'Hanrahan and Paul Williams join me, Steve Bamford, to discuss our selections for this week's PGA Tour action in Honolulu. Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning, guys.
Morning, guys.
Visit our world-famous golf betting system website where we have in-depth betting preview for the Sony Open, pulled together by my fair hand. We've got Wailea Country Club strokes gained rankings, well worth a look. Form statistics, plus, of course, new and old predictor models for all of the Sony action this week. All of our content is available across the Sony Open, completely free of charge. There is no paywall. On X, you can follow Barry at A Good Talk Golf, Paul at Golf Betting. I am at Bamford Golf. We are on Blue Sky as well. Search for Steve Bamford and Paul Williams. You know what, Paul? I'm almost up to 100 followers on Blue Sky. How amazing.
Flying.
Subscribe to the Steve Bamford Golf YouTube channel where this podcast is available each and every week. Now, you guys as listeners power this podcast, so we need your 5-star reviews on Apple Podcasts. As ever, for those of you who leave a review, I will read them out at the start of a future show. Leave your name and where you are in the review. Don't forget as well, the 5-star button on Spotify. Give that a press for us. This one is entitled, Thanks, Steve, Paul and Barry, 5 stars. Thanks for all of your hard work over the last 12 months. Roll on 2025 and all the majors again. I hope you enjoy your well-earned break. See you next year, Robert from Glasgow. That is very kind of you, Robert. Have a great new year. Let's get some winners together, Rob.
Yep. Thanks, Robert. Much appreciated. Yeah. Good luck for 2025 yourself.
Cheers, Robert.
Paul, should we talk through quickly the 2025 Golf Betting System Majors competition sponsored by Bet365? Go on.
Let's do it. It's actually starting to get some real traction with people putting their early predictions in. So if you've played before, it's as you were previous years. If you haven't, dead simple. We want one different name for each of the four major championships this year. So I want a name for the Masters, name for the PGA Championship, name for the US Open, and name for the Open Championship. And what we'll do, we'll take all of those names, stick them in the leaderboard, and for every dollar earning that your player gets against that particular major, you'll earn $1 in points, effectively. And we'll create a mini leaderboard of all the people who've entered all across the world. And over the course of the 4 majors, we'll see who of our listeners and readers is the best predictor of the 4 majors. There's a prize as well. There's 3 prizes, actually. Top prize, £150. Second prize, £75. Third prize, £25, or currency equivalent, of course. You can get your entries into us via, there's a thread on the Facebook group, which is quite nice, because if you go to the Facebook group, you can see what everyone else has entered as well. So you can have a sneaky peek as to what the current trends are. You can email us, you can enter via X as well. All of the information, all of the entry details, terms, whatnot, are on the entry page, which I'm sure Steve will post in the comments on this, or the description for this podcast.
Towards the top end of the description. If you're 18 plus and do not have a Bet365 sports account, you can find details of their brand new Bet £10, get £50 in free bets new customer promotion, plus a link through to that very offer with T's and C's in this podcast description. Don't forget to use the bonus code, Paul.
Sport50 for this one. Sport50.
When registering. Now, do you know what? We were talking about potential teams last week, weren't we? And I know I could be accused of recency bias here, but how about entry number one, Augusta National, the Masters? How about Hideki Matsuyama?
Yeah.
Here's a statistic for you guys. Hideki has now won 3 PGA Tour events in his last 18 main tour starts. Now, in the world of Scottie Scheffler, I think you're going to struggle to find a player that's actually winning as much in second place as Hideki Matsuyama.
Yep.
So he won, let me get this right, Riviera, Southwind, and now Plantation, the Century.
Yeah, we've seen it before with Hideki, haven't we, when he finds his form, particularly when he finds his putter, he can rattle off, you know, a few, not consecutive wins, but a few wins in relatively quick succession. You must have loved that, Barry, 35 under, that's right up your alley last week, wasn't it?
PGA Tour record.
You're just trying to trigger me.
Complete silence. Yeah. Complete silence from the Republic of Ireland.
Barry was just fuming there for a couple of seconds, thinking, how can I respond without using all the expletives that I want to use?
You've got to say, we called it completely correctly last week. All of the trends, the winning score, the weather, even links to courses. We kept talking about Augusta. Well, Hideki's a Masters champion. Mm-hmm. You know, we talked about Southwind and form there. Well, he won there last year. And also, we were talking about players that have done the Sony Open and the Century Double. And he's now added to that list. There's now 7 of them. And did we pick him?
No.
Did we, hell? Because we thought, there's no way Hideki Matsuyama is going to get to 35 under par and win a resort-level scoring contest. Not going to happen.
We didn't know. He was testing multiple putters and then would find a magic wand. But isn't that mad, though? It's just... That thing just clicks for him for the week, and then he has all the other things going from, you know, with his skill sets. There's one-handed follow-throughs that end up really close. And look, par is irrelevant, okay? They can put whatever par they want on that golf course, and the score then is whatever it is. It's for a golf course that everybody says is really interesting and a cool golf course, to see it just ripped apart like that. It's not fun. I know the conditions were perfect for that to happen, but go hide the pins a little bit more, guys. You know, I get that the PGA Tour wants to kick off the season with a bit of a bang, loads of birdies. They don't want a grind against par. They've kind of gone too far, and they're just... The other thing that kind of dawned on me, or thought I had over the weekend, was this is their season opener. I get that you want to reward the high-performing players in the season before with something, but how is your opening event of the season not fully maxed out with, like, a full field? I just don't get it. It should be a huge, big, like, explosion. Boom, we're here, 2025, and it's just this, I don't know, almost a hit-and-giggle, like, bonus payday. Mm-hmm. It shouldn't be that. Not for your opening event.
No, again, it's a symptom of the signature events, isn't it? And rewarding, as you say, those players that have found their way into that, into the top positions at the back end of the previous year. But yeah, 35 under. If you look at rip down into Hideki's stats, 33 birdies, 2 eagles. So he was birdie or better on virtually every other hole for the entire 4 days. It's just madness. And I'm with you guys. You know, you look at Hideki last week, and I looked at Hideki. We touched on a lot of the key facts that would point you in his direction. The number that really put me off was that he finished second to last here or there the previous year. And to finish that far down the list, and you look at the players that are that far down the list from the leaderboard from the weekend just gone, you know, you'd look at them and go, well, how can I reasonably expect that player to then go and shoot, 25, 30 shots better the following year to go and win the tournament? I know there's a year elapsed in between, and, you know, every complexity that comes with that, but That's quite some difference from from 12 months on in terms of his performance. So yes, you could look at that and say that's one that got away, but I think there were enough reasons to kind of swerve him there. But yeah, what can you do?
Second at the Dunlop Phoenix was his last competitive outing over in Japan.
Yeah.
He actually lost to Max McGreevy, who is playing this week. I don't know if either of you are going to mention Max McGreevy later on, but if you want to stamp a form, the fact that you beat Hideki Matsuyama and Akshay Bhatia in the Dunlop Phoenix in Japan at the end of last year, probably not a bad form line for Max McGreevy, who I think it's his second season on the PGA Tour. But we'll talk about that in a little bit. I tell you what I was going to talk about, actually. Matsuyama, 3 wins in his last 18 main tour starts. I just quickly, it got me thinking. I tell you the first thought that came into my mind Monday morning at some ridiculous time in the morning was Colin Morikawa. He used to be a winning machine, didn't he? And then you think, well, when you check the stats now, Morikawa has 1 win now in his last 68 main tour starts. All I'm thinking, I'm just going through, these were 4 of the top 7 in the book, in the starting market. They were all sub 20-1 last week, all of these players that I'm going to mention. They were all less in odds, price-wise, than Hideki Matsuyama, who won it. Morikawa, 1 win in 68. Justin Thomas, who Barry and I put up, 0 wins in 51 tournaments. Patrick Cantlay, no wins in 42 main tour starts. Sungjae Im, who I put up, and who finished third, got me a full each-way return at 16-1. So thank you, Sungjae. Played really well, but couldn't get lay a glove on the two at the top. He's got no wins in his last 85 main tour events, Sungjae Im. Now, that shouts to me a couple of things. First thing is that these players aren't winning golf tournaments. And secondly, we are in a kind of Tiger Woods-like environment now where Scotty Scheffler is just hoovering up and wins are very, very hard to come by. But also, it kind of suggests that when you look at these boards and you look at the big names, you've got to kind of think that a lot of them at the moment just simply aren't winning golf tournaments at very short odds. So I'm going to keep an eye on that.
Well, Scotty did win like close to 20% of the tournaments on tour last year. So they're fighting for a smaller pool of events. But
yeah,
to mention, Jamie Kennedy had a great tweet thread about Scotty Scheffler's year last year and kind of puts it into context. It truly is one of the best years of professional golf ever. It's I'll retweet it out from the account. Like it's a bit mind blowing when he puts it into context versus other players' performances.
Yeah,
it actually throws Rory McIlroy's performance in 2024 into some kind of perspective. Because I know we will talk about the fact that Rory disappointed in the majors again and he threw away a US Open. I'm not saying this as an opinion, but this is an opinion of many. Yes, it's not my opinion as such, but, people will remember 2024 for the fact with Rory that he came so close to winning the US Open and should have won the US Open, okay? But actually, when you look at his stats, he won last year the Dubai Desert Classic. He won the Zurich Classic with Shane Lowry. He then won the Wells Fargo Championship in that head-to-head with Xander at Quail Hollow, which is hosting the PGA Championship this year. What price do you think Rory's going to go off at? And then, of course, he won the season-ending DP World Tour Championship at the Earth Course. That is 4 main tour victories in his last 26 starts.
Yeah. It's not, and absolutely walked the race to Dubai as well. So, it's not a bad season. It's just by his high standards and the fact there were some near misses in there as well. Some really near misses that he will feel that he could and perhaps should have mopped a few more of those up. But yeah, had he won 7 or 8, then between him and Scotty, that would have been, you know, a huge proportion of the viable tournaments over the course of the year. So, you know, a lot of players are out there just fighting for scraps. And I think with winning, with winning, it's a habit, and you get into that routine of feeling comfortable in those positions, and you know, mentally capable of taking the victory. And some players just can't get into that space. Hideki, right now, over the last 8 months or so, 8-10 months, has got into a position where when the opportunity is there, he can take it. I always had that niggling feeling with Hideki that there's, you know, you're only a round away from a withdrawal with some kind of back or neck issue.
Yeah.
Kind of puts me off any really short prices. And of course, he's a really short price this week. But
well, I remember him biting you on the bottom because you tipped him up for the BMW the week after the Southwind. And he literally was tied second, was it, after round one or something? And he then withdrew.
Flying. Yeah, he was absolutely flying. And something tweaked. And there you go. That's the end of your betting week on that particular punt.
He never risks himself in a regular tournament.
No.
If you look at Scotty, chaps, look at Scotty, add in Matsuyama, add in Rory, and add in Xander, who's won 2 of his last 11 starts. You've literally got 4 players there that are just
hoovering,
winning most of the golf tournaments on the main tours. Mm-hmm. I would have thought if you probably added them together, they're getting close to half the tournaments.
Yeah, it won't be
40%, 45%. I don't know what the exact number is.
So is this kind of like a modern version of when, you know, Tiger, Els, Vijay, Duval? Like, I'm not saying I've got all the eras crossed nicely in a Venn diagram, but when there are these top talents just hoovering up a whole bunch of wins, it'd be really interesting to get perspective of other pros from that year, from that when that was happening, what it was like. I mean, that, if I was another modern pro that wasn't in that group that's winning loads, that'd be something my brain might wander to. Like, how do I go snatch off one of these wins when there's 40% of them are gone already, or 35% of them are gone by virtue of these top dogs?
Yeah. Well, as a punter back then, when Woods was mopping up everything, you were waiting for the without Woods market to see if there was any value in that, because that would just give you an opportunity to then kind of take Tiger just out of the equation. And, you know, I don't think we're far off the same situation with Scotty, where if Scotty's starting at 3-1 or shorter every time he tees it up, then sit back and wait for a without Scotty market?
He won 9 last year. How many did he play? 22, 23? Steve, do you have that there?
I can get it. Keep chatting. Yeah.
So he's winning at a faster rate than 1 and 3, and probably coming close to winning at in a 1 and 2 or 1 and 2.3 tournaments rate, which is truly nuts.
His rate is incredible. I'm just working it out right now on screen. It's mad. I think he won. What we got? This, I'm not including the Nedbank in this. He won the Olympic Men's Golf Tournament. Can you call that? That is WGC, isn't it? So it is added to the points.
That is the win. Come on. Like, it's a gold medal. That is
so
a win.
The Olympics 1, Travelers 2, Memorial 3, Heritage 4, Masters 5, Players 6, Arnold Palmer Invitational 7. That is 7 tournament wins in... Help me, computer. This is great entertainment, I know. I think it's around about 16 tournaments.
Yeah. And you've got the hero at the end as well. So it's not far off 1 and 2, is it? So... Really,
it's
really
actually
impressive.
20 starts. 20 starts, 7 victories. Throw in the Nedbank, you've got 8 in 21. I'd classify that as a hit and giggle personally, but yeah. Amazing stuff. But yeah, if you throw in Matsuyama, you throw in McIlroy, you throw in Xander, you know, you're starting to get definitely, you know, a situation where the top four are dominating a whole host of wins.
Mm.
And I'm looking at, you know, the world rankings right now. You've got Morikawa, who's at four, has only one win in his last 68. Ludvig Åberg didn't win last year. Wyndham Clark didn't win last year. Victor Hovland didn't win. Tommy Fleetwood never wins. Bryson DeChambeau, 10th in the world, barely plays any tournaments that are ranking. Of course, he won the US Open. Patrick Cantlay, 11, didn't win last year. Sahid Tagala, 13, didn't win. There's a lot of... It actually throws Robert McIntyre into some kind of context. He got a couple of decent victories last year.
He did.
He had a really good season. It's kind of interesting that he's longer in the market than a few names ahead of him this week.
Yep. Mm. Agreed. I'll tell you one thing I was going to throw in there quickly as well before we move on to the Sony. Did you see these reports that potentially, they're going to change the Tour Championship format?
Mm-hmm. Very exciting.
Would be nice.
What a great bit of news to start the year.
Mm.
If they don't ram this,
mentions
through...
Is it some kind of bracket? What would that be? What would the how could you bracket it? So how does that work with 30 players?
You don't do 30 because you don't want somebody from 30th winning the Tour Championship, which is why they had the adjusted starting strokes thing anyway. So what you do is you do 12 or something like that. So 12, and then you have the positions 5 through 12 play head-to-head matches, and then you have your quarterfinals. So you're 1 through 4 will then get their opponents and you go from there. And that way, somebody who finished in the top 12 of the yearly standings is going to be the tour champion. They don't want somebody from 30th, you know, doing that. So you'd have to cut off the number of people getting there. Or you do two waves. So you do 1 through 12 and then 13 through 24 and 13 through 24, then doing match play again to play off for... what kind of money they get. So now you have two flights or leagues or whatever. But they need to do it. I haven't seen one person other than a couple of rumors that pros are against it saying that they don't want this. It's about time the tour just says, no, we think this is going to be a great entertainment product. Let's go for it and give it a crack this year.
Yeah.
The date doesn't change in the schedule, August 21, 24. The amount of players in the field doesn't change, still going to be 30, but they're going to have to get some kind of aspect in there where the lower ranks, or where the guys towards the top of the rankings get some kind of priority, be that they don't have to play in the first day of action or
something similar. You get a buy or something. But
get a buy of some describe,
Please make it happen. I know we're a long way from Christmas, but this is what I want from Santa.
yeah it could make it work with a bye for the top two, couldn't you, and then you're into 32 and straight knockout. But I think it's probably got to be something a little bit more complex than that. But good news, hopefully good news, as you say,
hopefully give good it, news
give it some a bit more interest, because it just kind of falls flat, doesn't it?
Well, I didn't, you remember last year, I didn't even entertain a bet. There's no interest in it whatsoever. I just did a preview for the listeners and for the readers that basically went into all the course details, all of the numbers, but I had no view on it because there's just no interest in it.
Yep.
So we need to improve that. Right. Sony Open in Hawaii this week. First full field of 2024. Lots of new players to get used to. There's a player that's particularly high in my strokes gain rankings. Bearing in mind these strokes gain rankings, take them with a slight pinch of salt, because we've got a lot of players that have got no ranking. And we've got a lot of players that have got a high ranking off of one star or two starts. But Aldridge, I've got no idea how you pronounce his name. I know he was playing some golf in South Africa at the end of last year. I think he is South African. Aldridge Potgieter? He's number one on my strokes gained total ranking.
He's got some good stats coming out of last season. Yeah. See if he can continue it on the main tour this week, or this year.
Did he contend at the Alfred Dunhill or something? It was something like, or the Ned Bank, or
yeah, there were a few people that picked up on, you know, his potential, and yeah, it looks like there is a lot of potential there. But yeah, well, I'd say one to watch is one that could pop up quite readily. I think we'll see.
This golf tournament, the Sony Open, been around for donkeys. You've got a select group of Japanese invites in there as well. Some of a very good standard, by the way. Played at Waialae Country Club, Honolulu, Hawaii. It's a Rainer original, 1927, with the Tom Doak restoration in 1718. Coastal golf course, although I wouldn't class, you know, there's a main road between the course and the actual coast itself, but it's right on the coast. I'm classifying it as, wait for it, Barry, mid-score test this week. I can guarantee you one thing, mid-35s under won't win this week. It's a short golf course, 7,044 yards. It's a par 70, only two par 5s. Holes with water in play, 5. Naturally, Tony Finau doesn't play this week. Number of bunkers, 83. Acres of fairway, 50. Fairways of Bermuda grass, as is the rough. We've got Tiff Dwarf, which is becoming quite a rare Bermuda grass these days, Paul. Tiff Dwarf Bermuda greens, 7,100 square feet in size. Quite chunky, actually, the green size for the length of the golf course. Grayson Murray won this last year in a three-way playoff against Ben Arne, who's on my post-it note of doom, and my selection for the week, Keegan Bradley, who, if he'd have birded the par 5 18th, would have won the golf tournament. But, of course, I was on him, so he finished second. Siwoo Kim, Hideki Matsuyama, Kevin Na, Cameron Smith, Matt Kuchar, Patton Kizzire, Justin Thomas, last eight winners. Justin Thomas won the week after he'd won the Century, which wasn't called the Century back then, but you get the gist. Hideki Matsuyama does play this week, so could go for the double. 9-1 favourite. Corey Connors, Russell Henley, Tom Kim, Keegan Bradley, Ben Arne, Maverick McNealy, Robert McIntyre, up to 28-1, 33-1 bar the rest. Always an interesting tournament. A great stat here. Something along the lines of last week featured over 500 feet of elevation, yeah, on the golf course.
Mm.
It's certainly one of those ones that you can classify as uphill and down dale. I think that's safe to say, yes?
Yeah.
I think we've got the complete and utter antipathy of that this week at Waialae Country Club. There is only 10 feet of elevation change across the whole golf course. Flat as a pancake.
That is flat as a pancake.
Now, the interesting points to me are, it looks like we're going to get some rain in the build-up to the tournament. It's stating up to 75% chance on Wednesday. So we might get a bit of cut in those fairways. There's a risk of rain also on Tuesday. That's below 50%. And you might see some rain across Thursday as well. Just looking at the weather forecast. The interesting fact, though, Barry, and this is why I think we're not going to see resort-level scoring, which we can see here when it's really calm. I think Matsuyama beat Henley. Was it a playoff? I think he won at 22, 23 under a few years ago. 23. I don't think we're going to see that. Because it looks like we're going to have gusting 20 to 25 mile an hour winds throughout the full 72 holes. That will keep the lid on scoring, I reckon. Mm. So I reckon 17 under last year, there was 3 days of wind above 20 mile an hour. We've got 4 this year. Soft golf course, I still think it's going to be 15 to 17 under, I reckon. Wins the tournament.
Yeah, it sounds
so tougher. Right. I mean, I'm not suggesting it's a US Open, but it's certainly not a century at Kapalua.
No, and as a par 70, you've got less of those par 5 scoring opportunities as well. So it tends to, and as you say, unless it's absolutely sopping wet and dead calm, it tends to keep a little bit of a lid on the scoring.
Strokes gained here. Remember we said last week it was 51% tee to green, 49% putting. Matsuyama did putt well. I don't think it was a 51-49 split, but it was certainly something along the lines of six, you know, two-thirds tee to green, one-third, or no, nah, I'd say 60-40 actually. 60% tee to green, 40% putting last week with Matsuyama. This is a different story, chaps. 72% tee to green, only 28% with the putter over the last four renewals here. So I wouldn't say team no putts in effect, but it's certainly leaning more towards your tee to green game than it is a red hot putter. Although Kevin Na did win this. Saying that, when Kevin Na won this, he was actually number one for tee to green and about 30th for putting. So yeah, it was a very, very un-Kevin Na-like performance. Mm. But that's one thing I would say, just from that list of golfers that I went through. You've got bangers in there, bombers in there, tee to green experts. You've also got short game experts with, you know, like Kevin Na that can win around here. Grayson Murray, I think, was third or fifth for driving distance 12 months ago when winning this. So there's different ways of cutting it. There really are. You can be short, you can be long. It's a very wide open golf tournament to predict, in my opinion. Anything you want to add to the mix before we go into it?
One of the other stats that I picked out of your preview was the fact that 18 of the last 19 winners had played here before. And that's not always the case, and particularly at the start of the season where you've got this influx of Korn Ferry players. And I note that we've not got the DP World Tour grads over this week. That I guess they'll come after the...
Oh, we've got one. Jesper Svensson's come across.
Oh, okay. Mm. Yeah. It's... generally, they're staying over for the Middle East swing, which makes a level of sense. But generally, we've got a fair few grads from the Korn Ferry Tour. And it's only Russell Henley, isn't it, who's come
Henley,
in the last...
2013, yeah.
Yeah, in the last, 19 starts, where he's won without any prior experience. So if you're trying to just cut the field down a little bit before you start, then... Just simply looking at players that have actually had a look at the course before might not be a bad starting point.
I didn't choose one debutant on that basis.
Yeah, absolutely. It's an interesting and pretty clear stat to start with. So
the other question,
a debutant.
The other question people always ask in this is: do they need to have played the century the week before?
Mm.
Past 26 champions, 17 of 26, that's 65%, had played at Maui the week before. However, Grayson Murray hadn't, Siwoo Kim hadn't, and Cameron Smith hadn't. So three of the past five didn't play at Kapalua before winning this. So I've actually included one particular player that didn't play Kapalua last week.
Yeah, not the be-all and end-all, is it?
In fact, that's rubbish. I've picked two. I've got a question for you guys, and this is an open question. I am leading it because I'm actually leading into my first tip. Just out of interest, my first tip is at 20-1. Where are you two coming in at?
I've got four, all of them over 50 this week.
Oh, wow. Barry?
Sorry, that really caught me by surprise.
He's taking your role.
Wow.
In the
Barry's just choked on the thought of my tip.
I'm like, Paul has just taken my identity.
I was going to say, Barry's now got four above 200-1.
Yeah. I was kind of keen on, because of good performance last week, Corey Connors. But like, I know I'm going against my own advice about being price proud, but I'm not going to pick him. I can't. You did, and it was actually one of your stats, Steve, that said he led the field in strokes gained putting last week. That got me really scared, because is that just a blip of a week? Is, you know, or is he going to maintain it this week? Who knows? So I do know the greens last week, they kept saying they were particularly good conditions. So maybe that helped him. Who knows? Anyway, so I've ditched him, and my first bets are, where are we?
Where are you at?
28-1.
Okay. Right, that's brilliant. Thank you for that. Right. If you take Hideki Matsuyama out of this field, who would you say is the second, forget about the odds, but in your opinion, who's the second best player in this field?
Yeah, I guess it's got to be Tom Kim in terms of raw ability and potential and kind of winning most, I guess. I mean, Keegan Bradley's won a few, but you can't always trust him, I guess.
Barry?
Me? I mean, for talent, I don't know. There's no clear winner there. I'm surprised Sahith Theegala is 33-1. I have him as a better player than those odds in my head. I'd put McIntyre up there. Like, there's nobody head and shoulders that says I am the standout next best player.
Yep. Well, I thought, yeah, Robert McIntyre, we've already said, did well last year, but it's a tournament debut. So I went for Tom Kim. 2.5 points. I got 20-1. And I managed to get 8 places each way on Tom Kim. Now, I know a lot of people will come at me and say, well, he's played it once, he missed the cut. And I remember a bet we had a couple of seasons ago. I had a similar kind of bet on Sepp Straka at the Sanderson Farms in the Country Club of Jackson. And his form going into that tournament was he'd played there 4 times and missed the cut 4 times. I think we got him at something ridiculous, like 40-1, even though he'd finished in the top 10 for scoring at the Tour Championship on his previous outing. I get that kind of gist with Tom Kim. If you actually look at Tom Kim's form of late, it's really good. And he is trending big style. And we know with Tom Kim, this is a guy, remember, that finished second at an Open Championship. He also finished 8th that particular year, 2023, at the Los Angeles Country Club, which hosted the US Open. He's a quality player. 3 wins. He's only 22. He's got over 10 wins globally, which I've always commented about. That suggests to me that he can get to a course, work it out very quickly, and win golf tournaments. Mm. And again, if you just look at the numbers, and I know Tom Kim didn't win last year, but this guy has just got a career of winning golf tournaments. And this isn't the strongest, let's be frank about it. There's a lot of non-winners in it. I mean, you've got Russell Henley. When the first markets came out, Tom Kim was 4th or 5th favourite for this. And he's been backed in slightly since then, Monday. But, he, you know, would I take Tom Kim over Ben Arne, Corey Connors, Russell Henley, Sahith Theegala at this tournament? With that, yes, I would. So I took the 20-1, 2.5 points each way on Tom Kim. He finished 2nd behind Ben Arne at the Genesis Championship in Korea, lost in the playoff. 2nd at the Hero World Challenge behind Scottie Scheffler. He ranked 3rd for strokes gained tee to green at Albany. And he then finished 2nd again at the Grant Thornton Invitational in mid-December when he partnered Gino Titical in that particular event. You can't say the guy's not trending. 2nd, 3rd, 2nd across recent starts. Yeah, he's missed the cut here. Don't care. He's got course experience. At least he's seen the course and played 2 competitive rounds and a couple of practice rounds. So you can't say. And we have had players that have won here off 1 appearance and players that have won here off 1 appearance and a missed cut. In fact, you could throw Grayson Murray into that mix because he did that 12 months ago. So I'm on Tom Kim. Patton Kizzire did the same in 2018. So I'm on Tom Kim at 20-1. Right. Who's next up for you, Barry? Did you say 28-1?
Yeah, I've gone with McIntyre.
You have?
Yeah. I'm just following my gut on this a little bit. His one of the key stats you pointed out this week are fairway approaches from 125 to 175. I think it was 70% of your approach shots are from that. In that respect, he ranks really shitty. But he's had a nice break from a really successful season, like admittedly like thrilled with his season last year. You could tell he needed his break from what he was saying in the social media. But the fact that he's, not say willing to fly to Hawaii, but he's putting in the effort to fly all the way to Hawaii to play the last 2 weeks shows that he's rested and gung-ho. Played a good week last week, knocked the rust off, played this last year. Had a 66, a 67, 69. Like, that's an okay week. It was fine. Four rounds of the course all were 71 or better. So, yeah, I just think he's one of the higher quality players in the field and liked the little extra bit on the odds.
Sixth for strokes gained approach last week, which is a great number. He's eighth for tee to green. Those are the kind of numbers I want to be seeing. Actually struggled on the greens, but that's not really. I mean, Kapalu is just is so unique with those greens undulating. I think McIntyre's a great shout this week. The only reason I didn't put him up was purely that debutant angle.
Mm-hmm. He's not a debutant. Where? He's not a debutant at this course.
Yeah.
No, he played it last year.
Did he?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Where did he finish?
52nd.
Well, I'm talking rubbish then.
Yeah, so he went 71, 66, 69, 67.
We should have put him up now.
He's mine. He's mine, Steve.
He reaches for his mobile phone.
He's mine, Steve. Back off.
Reaches for his mobile. I've missed another winner, and Barry has picked it up.
Just hold fire. Like you said, this week is tricky to make picks, and I do have a few others. So, yeah, my next one's close in the odds. I'll go while I'm talking.
Just presumed that last year, because he was a rookie and hadn't played, I just presumed he hadn't taken the effort to fly all the way to the Sony Open as his season opener, and he clearly did. 66, 69, 67 to close. Wow. Good spot.
Yeah. Okay, Paul, I've stolen one of your favourites. I'm going to go with Kurt Kitayama.
Right, okay.
No, we love Kurt.
There's some really good numbers there for his approach play. His putting wasn't great towards the end of last year, but he hasn't played in a couple of months now at least. So hopefully that's just kind of disappeared into the ether and he can come out with a little bit of more of a regular week for putting stats. But yeah, if he matches up his, if he comes in with the long game going, we're in business, give himself lots of opportunities. He shot a 62 here last year, so can really get along well with the course. So Kurt Kitayama, my second bet.
Yeah. No, I looked at him. Looking at the dimensions of the course and from some of the stats at the top of your preview, Steve, it looks similar dimension-wise, certainly from off the tee to TP Summerlin, and Kitayama was... Well, he was around the top 10 there, wasn't he, this year? Just gone by.
10th or 9th, yeah.
So, yeah, he's certainly one that I looked at. It just felt a little bit skinny, given that I've been digging a little bit deeper in the market this week. But, yeah, I couldn't put you off, Barry. I think there's a chance there.
Kitayama ranks first for approach and first for tee to green across my 8 tournament strokes gain numbers. Mm,
there you go.
McIntyre ranks 3rd for tee to green and 9th for approach. just out of interest, he's 36 on Betfair Exchange. So I don't know how I've just found that out, but there we go. I must admit, I've just put a cheeky tenner on Robert McIntyre. Right. Well, when you realise you've made a terrible mistake live on a podcast and someone's pointed out a player that you've got to back, you've just got to do it, haven't you? I've got also Austin Eckroat, 1.5 points each way, 35-1 with Betfred, 8 places each way on Austin Eckroat. 2-time winner on the PGA Tour. He won the Cognizant Classic at PGA National. As we know, that is a particularly windswept event, yeah? Used to be the Honda Classic. He also won the end of last year the Worldwide Technology Championship at El Cardinal, you know, Tiger Woods' Paspalum golf course in Baja, Mexico. He's now in the world's top 40. He's clearly not afraid of winning, bearing in mind that was his second tour season. He won twice. And the thing that grabbed me here, he was 12th here on course debut in 2023. He was 42nd here last year. Gets on with the course. And if you just look at his... Tot up his 8 rounds he's played here. He's got a 65, a 66, a 66, a 66, 68, 68. He's just had a 69 and 70-something. So, yeah, plays the course well. Great in the wind. Likes to win. There's something here about players that won towards the end of last year and they often come here and win. Jimmy Walker's one of those. Gomez, Justin Thomas, Matt Kuchar, Patton Kazire. You could even throw Hideki Matsuyama in that because he won the Zozo. I think he won the Zozo and then came here and won this. So yeah, Eckroat won that WWT. So I'm on Eckroat 35-1 with Betfred, 8 places each way. Because it's a windy tournament, I thought I'd take you through the top 10 of our predictor model for wind players. Connors is one, Barry. Best wind player in this field, according to our predictor model. Denny McCarthy, 2. Has Paul gone for Denny McCarthy? Maverick McNealy, 3. Keegan Bradley, 4. Tom Hoagie, 5. Chris Kirk and Emiliano Griot tied for 6th. Harris English, 8th. Joel Damon, 9th, who I saw at 200-1. Mackenzie Hughes, Cam Davis, Andrew Putnam and Bryce Garnett all tied for top T10. Interestingly enough, Austin Eckroat has only been on tour for 2 years. He is tied 18th in this field for positive wind play. Bearing in mind, those numbers are a rolling 5-year number. So I'm taking off performances from the start of 2020 and adding, of course, performances right now. So that would suggest Austin Eckroat is a fantastic wind player because he ranks in the top 18 already and he's only played on tour for 2 years. So, yeah, Austin Eckroat for me. I'm then out to 55-1 chances, Paul. So I know you're in this kind of bracket. Do you want to take over for a couple?
Yeah, one of them is shared with you, but I can go through them, save you talking. You can chip in, of course. One of the players you just mentioned in your win stats, actually, Cam Davis, 55-1. I took with the 8th place option over at Betfred. We've got some cracking prices this week, actually. Betfred and their extended markets are looking really tasty, I must say, so do check him out. Real eye catcher last week, actually, Cam Davis had a slow start, started with 73, and we said on the pod last week you can't start with 73 or thereabouts around Kapalua and expect to win, and of course he didn't win because it left him so far off the pace. But 64 on Friday, 64 on Saturday, much more like it, and suggest that there's, you know, once he got rid of that little bit of rust on Thursday, then there's plenty under the bonnet. Couple of wins on tour, looking to make it 3 now. Solid record here as well. 9th in 2020. Hasn't missed a cut here since and was first round leader here last year. Shot a 62 to lead after the first day. Now, I know you're on Davis as well. Is there any other nuggets you can add to that?
All I'll say is he needs to play his own ball this week. Because I don't know if you saw, he got a two-shot penalty with Will Zalatoris in the final round on Sunday because they played each other's balls.
Doesn't help, does it?
It doesn't, but actually it kind of protected his price because clearly he'd have been two shots better and finished in the top 10. That just shows you how well he played last week. If you take his those 264s you mentioned, he was 18 under for the middle two rounds. Only, of course, Hideki Matsuyama and Colin Morikawa would beat that by one single shot.
Yeah.
Lot of correlating course form I love with Cam Davis. Places like PGA West, Silverado, they play that in California. I know it's Poana, but shortish, tree-lined. It's very similar to this, really. Say, Harbortown, places like that. So, yeah, I do like Cam Davis. Like him a lot.
Very good. I'm out to 80-1 after that.
Well, I'm quite easy here. I'd be amazed if Barry isn't going to follow me in on this, but we'll talk it through. Sepp Straka, 55-1 with Betfred, 8 places each way. I mean, he is the podcast favourite, isn't he, on Bermuda Grass?
I'm with
you. He's the new Siwoo Kim.
No, he's not. He's better. I'm with you. Yeah. Good week last week.
You're in on Sepp, yeah.
Yeah, good week last week. I don't think those super low scoring events are his forte.
I don't think so.
No. It was a good week, so let's keep it lit. I'm gonna back on him again.
Remember that first victory. Remember that first victory, guys. Shane Lowry, we're all on board. Honda Classic. Windy, rainy.
We got lucky that week.
And Sepp Straka won it in a playoff.
We got lucky that the weather came in and abused Larry when he was finishing his round. But you need you need a bit of luck for things to go right, you know, to go fully right for you. So
don't forget Sepp Straka, second in an Open Championship. So yeah, I love Sepp this week. Really, really like him. And it's a Ryder Cup season. So he knows he wants a great start. As will Robert. So, yeah, I don't think Robert and Sepp Straka are two bad bets around here. My final bet, again at 55-1, is a player that didn't play the century. It probably would shock you if I mention his last four or five finishes. He's had a fourth, an eighth, a fifth and a sixth. Fourth at the Pro Corps, Silverado, just mentioned that. Eighth at the Sanderson Farms, Jackson. Fifth at the RSM Classic, which is a course that he just goes well on every single time. And he then went to South Africa because I think he was trying to sneak into the world's top 50 and get a Augusta start. Finished sixth. Didn't make the world's top 50 though. Mackenzie Hughes. Windy, like that. Love the fact that this course can be won by players, this tournament can be won by players like Kevin Na. I mean, Mackenzie Hughes. The thing that I'm actually shocked by is that Mackenzie Hughes ranks in the top 20 of both my tee to green and my approach play rankings over the last 8 tournaments. And when you see that for Mackenzie Hughes, a guy that we know is an unbelievable putter, that signals very good things. 2-time winner on the PGA Tour. So Hughes at 55-1, Cam Davis at 55-1, Sepp at 55-1, all with Betfred. Austin Eckrow at 35-1, and Tom Kim, 2.5 points each way, 20-1. All of them, I managed to get Betfred 8 places each way. Thank you to Betfred for that. Right, longer prices. Paul.
Yeah, so I've got Lucas Glover, I've taken at 80-1 with the 8 place options out there. Decent price, I thought, for a player who's finished third a couple of times in his last 5 starts. He was third at the Sanderson Farms and third at the Black Desert Championship as well. Both of them in the full segment of the season, so not in the distant past, in the relatively recent past. Fifth to Sunday at the Bermuda Championship as well, and closed with a 65 to end his season at the RSM Classic, tied for 30 there. So all pretty solid at the back end of the year. Pretty hit and miss here at Wiley.
We're up in the northeast now. Wiley.
I've gone full Geordie. Fifth, though, in 2022. Suggests he can play the course when he's on his game. Third for proximity last year. That's a stat I like for this. And sixth for par four performance. I think there's much less reliance on par five performance here because of the dimensions of the course and the par 70. So the fact that he's so high up on par four performance last year, I think, is a positive for Lucas Glover, 80-1. You mentioned Max McGreevy. I have backed Max McGreevy. 100-1 I took with the 8 place option. It opened at 150 in places if you went with the absolute bog standard each way terms, but there's plenty of options out there now ranging from 100 to 125 depending how you want to play it, and I think that's a cracking price for one of these Corn Ferry grads that I really do like the look of. We mentioned Russell Henley, didn't we? He was one of those players who broke through in this after a strong year on the Corn Ferry, or the second tier as it was at web.com, I think it was at the time. McGreevy won twice on the Corn Ferry last year in June and then again in August. And as you mentioned, Steve, he won the Dunlop Phoenix back in November.
Yeah.
And we've got to consider that because he beat Hideki, he beat Akshay Bhatia by 4 shots. So, I mean, that's cracking form.
That's
Sean
quality.
Norris, it is. Sean Norris was in second too. And Sean Norris has won twice since finishing second to Max McGreevy. So you've got Hideki, who shot 35 under last week. Sean Norris, who's won twice since. I mean, in horse racing terms, that form has well and truly been franked. So the fact that he's triple digits here, despite the fact that he's missed a couple of missed cuts, he's had a couple of missed cuts when he has played it, it's much, much better player nowadays. 100-1 or above if you want to take the different options. I think it's just got to be taken on Max McGreevy and see how he goes.
He's in great nick, isn't he?
Yeah, absolutely.
Unbelievable.
And you talk about players, have won or won multiple times recently. So that's 3 wins in what must be circa 20 starts over the last 6 months or so. That's, it puts him as one of the more winning most players on the planet. So, yeah, I couldn't see any reason not to take Max McGreevy this week. The final one I've taken, much longer, David Lipsky, 300-1. He's still available if you want to take the bog standard each way places, 250 or thereabouts, available right now as we record on Tuesday morning at, 8:45 a.m. There's 250 or thereabouts available for 8 place options. So David Lipsky at that price. And I couldn't believe that price. And we do get some long price winners around here. Grayson Murray and, of course, it's going to be an emotional week this week following his passing last year. So it would be interesting to see how that plays out with the players this week. And, of course, there's going to be a lot of coverage on that this week during the course of the event. But Murray was 400-1 last year. So these long price winners can and do happen. And it might be a value loser on Lipsky, but I'm happy to give it a try, I think. Simple justification. He was fourth here in 2023. Second at the Pro Core Championship, sixth at the WWT, ninth at the Bermuda Championship. So that's 3 strong efforts, all in that full segment of the PGA Tour season over the last few months. And you're getting a really strong price on him, so couldn't see any reason not to give him a chance either. So Lipsky, McGreevy, Glover and Cam Davis for me as my 4 this week.
Even Murray had won at the latter end of the previous year. He'd won a Corn Ferry event.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
And then he went first WD, miscut at the RSM. So there's something in there about winners or players that go very close at the end of the previous year.
Yeah. A bit of full series form doesn't hurt, even if it is on the Corn Ferry, I don't think.
Yeah, or any other tournament, any pro golf, really. Barry, any more from you?
One more. One of the newer lads out on tour, Mac Meisner. pretty hard on the long.
His stats are unbelievable.
Yeah, exactly what caught my eye. So just didn't dig too much further beyond that. Just those the approach stats were eye-popping. So grab that and we'll go there. Let's see what happens. Tournament debut, so who knows.
What did you get on him?
I went to stretch it out. I could have got 110 eight places, but I went for 75 to 112 places, giving that extra bit of wiggle room. So
yeah. Don't blame him. That's the beauty these days. There's so many different ways of cutting the cake. You can bet on the nose on the exchange and trade. You can go each way, or extended each way places with something like Bet365. You can literally just manipulate your portfolio in so many ways.
There was a strange anomaly. He was 80 to 110 places, 75 to 112, and both were 150 odds terms. So it just was an absolute no-brainer to take the 75 for 12s. Yeah.
Definitely.
I'm going to throw this out there. Is there any player that we haven't mentioned that you think that one of us should have done?
Shortlist.
I mean, we could say Corey Connors because you haven't backed him, Barry.
Yeah,
because
Connors dropped off.
Quite rightly, you said his price is way too short
for somebody that doesn't win. Yeah. So who else? Ben Griffin was close, but dropped off my list. So I'm probably going to have to do a Steve on that and just jump on the exchange and throw a sneaky couple of euro just to cover it off. More just an emotional hedge bet. Well, yeah, I think that's Connors, yeah, would be the one. That's like if we went back to something we used to do years ago, the player I don't want to win this week is Connors.
Yeah.
Super short though, isn't it?
What about you, Paul?
The one that I've been pondering and haven't backed is JT Poston. And I know you backed Poston last week.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think going from a long course to a shorter course, Bermuda Greens, that he enjoys, we know that he can win. He's proven that. He won back at Summerlin, which is one of those courses that I mentioned as in terms of dimensions similar to this. And I think he'll feel more at home with this week than he did last.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't pulled the trigger, but that's the nagging doubt there is that Poston could have a really good week. So I need to give that one a little bit more thought.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think Poston's a real danger this week. A real, real danger. Right. I hope your bets go well, gentlemen.
Yeah, best of luck, boys.
You too, boys.
Best of luck to listeners. We will be back. We've got DP World Tour returning action next week, Paul.
We have. What a fantastic field. Rory and Rahm and Fleetwood and Hovland and Hatton, all sorts. McIntyre's playing over in Dubai next week.
That's some travel for McIntyre, isn't it? From Honolulu to Dubai.
It'll be a snip in his winner's paycheck, Steve. You'll just get a private jet. Fine.
Yeah, but he's got £10 and my kiss of death on him on Betfair Exchange, so he might be leaving on Friday.
Yeah.
That's the only danger. That's a quality field. The States, we have the American Express, which I believe should see the return of Scottie Scheffler after his mishap at Christmas. He was targeting playing the American Express. Right. I hope all of your bets go well. See you again next week. Goodbye.
If you like betting on golf, but everyone that you back misses the cut, get some experts involved with all the stats and the tips and so much more. 'Cause it's the Golf Betting System. The Golf Betting System is the Golf Betting System.